Every day, 14 to 15 million Indians go to the movies. India produces between 1,500 and 2,000 films a year, more than any country in the world, and in over 20 languages. The number of cinema tickets sold is the highest national total on the planet in 2012. India sold 2.6 billion tickets, compared to Hollywood's 1.36 billion. Bollywood boasts the highest growth rate in the movie industry, barreling ahead at 11.5% a year. By 2020, Indian cinema, exported to over 70 countries, is expected to bring in close to $4 billion in terms of gross box office realizations. India loses the battle of revenues to Hollywood, but with average multiplex tickets costing $4, and many of India's cinemas divided into classes like airplanes, you can see a movie for under a dollar if you don't mind sitting uncomfortably right in front of the screen. Lots of facts and figures, and we'll get into much more in just a moment. That the opening from New Kings of the World. Dispatches from Bollywood, Dizzy, and K-pop by Fatima Bhutto. We're going to complement the book with Leonard Maltin's classic movie guide from the silent era through 1965. We'll get to that in just a moment. Two more different movie books can rarely be found. Our first title, New Kings of the World, takes the tack that Hollywood's story pushes a tale of the world that focuses on the past. The future, Fatima writes, belongs to India's Bollywood, Turkey's soap operas, and South Korea's K-pop groups. This theme of past versus future continues to deepen with the author's contention, not unsurprising, perhaps, that with so many people around the world slowly gaining the financial wherewithal to participate in consumer society, who can afford that $1 or $4 ticket to a movie in India, the glitter, the glitz, the libertine nature of Hollywood's presentations of the world is a bridge too far for many of these newly arrived modern folks to take in, much less aspire to. Instead, a more culturally conservative worldview, where small but personally significant gains made in this modern world, and yes, a worldview more focused on women's dignity, with a dash of chauvinistic nationalism to be sure, can and does appeal to this growing international population. And so it is that Bollywood's reach has expanded to take in avid viewers from India to over 70 other nations around the world, including the U.S., including Britain, but even more so in other parts of our globe. The Turkish soap operas are seeing similar geographic and demographic reach, while Korean pop music is finding welcome ears the world over, including in Bolivia. The U.S., Europe, and Japan certainly are included, but they're no longer the kings of the world when it comes to reaching the multi-million, even billion folks who live with us on this planet. And one more statistical paragraph that caught my eye that I thought was very telling from New Kings of the World. Our author tells us that by 2008, which granted is 11 years ago, according to Guinness World Records, The Bold and the Beautiful, one of the top American soaps, was watched by a peak of 26.2 million people worldwide. 26.2 million. Not bad for Bold and the Beautiful. By 2016, Magnificent Century had been seen by upward of 200 million people, though its distributors estimate the actual number of viewers to be more than double that today. So 26.2 million for The Bold and the Beautiful, pretty darn good numbers worldwide, but 200 million people for Magnificent Century. Well, you gotta wonder which one is winning the race for viewers' eyes. New Kings of the World is a book that, despite its title, does not offer us personal insights into the gentleman hinted at on its cover, though granted the Bollywood icons of such folks as Dilip Kumar, Raj Kapoor, and Shah Rukh Khan are noted in the text, as are many other folks from India, from Turkey, from South Korea. This is not, however, a guide to what films to watch, what music to listen to. aside from the occasional note of significant films, soaps, music from India, from Turkey, so from South Korea, that it might well be good to follow up on. What a difference our second book presents, though. Edited by longtime movie critic Leonard Maltin, Leonard Maltin's classic movie guide from the silent era through 1965 takes us into the fanciful, often over-the-top, imaginary world of Hollywood in its prime, both agreeing with and drawing some very different conclusions from New Kings of the World. As Maltin writes in his opening to this review of more than 10,000 Hollywood films, lots of numbers in today's review, but that's just incredible. 10,000 Hollywood films, and granted the book is more than a few pages long. As Leonard Maltin tells us, the fact that so much time and effort goes into the preservation and presentation of older films is testament to their ongoing value. When I observed the sellout audiences at the Los Angeles Conservancy's annual Last Remaining Seats series, where Angelenos enjoy vintage films in the city's great movie palaces, or the San Francisco Silent Film Festival, where audiences pack the beautiful Castro Theater, I see people of all ages, Maltin continues, not just elderly moviegoers indulging in mere nostalgia. The later festival's motto says it best, true art transcends time. Clearly, then, this book is meant for those who want a short, succinct, and surprisingly image-rich descriptions and reviews of a film to watch. If you've ever read a Leonard Maltin film review, you'll get a very good idea of what I mean here. To immerse oneself, or to simply use it for escapism. Anyone for Wasp Woman? And it's not just a compilation of reviews that Maltin and his team have written over the years. As he tells us when talking about a particular film that he gave a second notice to, Nadi Marietta is a better movie than I indicated in my earlier write-up. It is just one of many films my colleagues and I have revisited and re-rated for this edition. We don't take these changes of heart lightly, be they positive or negative. But when a film looks better than it did the first time around, or it hasn't aged well, it seems foolish to stand by an outdated opinion. So while the Leonard Maltin Classic Movie Guide doesn't offer the immediacy of an online website, it does offer the book reader more than not another stuffy reprint of film reviews. And in the end, reading these pithy, well-turn-of-phrased reviews can be a delight, whether you watch the film or not. Kind of like hopping through an encyclopedia, if you remember those, or a dictionary of yore, when minutes, even hours could pass as one intriguing entry led to another, led to another, led to another. For instance, on the same two-page spread as the aforementioned Wasp Woman, I gotta see if I can find that and watch it myself. In addition, so many other films just on those two pages pop up and grab our attention. Waterloo Bridge from 1940, starring Vivian Leigh, Robert Taylor, Lucy Watson, Virginia Field, several others. A sentimental love story, Maltin writes, well acted, of soldier and ballet dancer meeting during London air raid, falling in love instantly. Cleaned up version of the Robert E. Sherwood play with a beautiful performance by the lovely Lee, screenplay by S.N. Behrman, Hans Rameau, and George Freshall, first filmed in 1931, remade as Gabby. There's more. What about Way Down South, starring Bobby Breen, Clarence Muse, Ralph Morgan, and a lot of other folks? Hokey, but fascinating musical curio written by the Muse and Langston Hughes. Set in the pre-Civil War South, boy soprano Breen is a young master. Or how about Way of All Flesh? Again, kind of one of those pre-war movies, just barely. 1940, Hungarian immigrant Tamarov toils as a bank clerk, becomes victimized when his boss sends him on a mission to deliver money to a client. Overly sentimental melodrama and a remake of Emil Manning's 1927 silent film. And can't let you get away without reading the review for The Wasp Woman from 1960, kind of a new one, starring Roger Corman, Susan Cabot, Fred Anthony, Barbara Morris, Michael Mark, and a couple of other people. Maltin goes on to tell us an enjoyable Corman cheapie about cosmetics magnate Cabot, fearful of aging, using royal jelly from wasps to become young and beautiful. She also periodically changes into a wasp monster that must kill. Minor camp classic, an underrated semi-remake. Evil Spawn was made for video in 1987, remade for TV in 1996. Where are these people? Wasp Woman. There's so much more in here that you just got to pick it up, read through it, find some films you want to see, and then go out there and get them on your screen. Donated by the 3 O'Clock Club in memory of longtime member and West Lafayette educator Alice Arthur, Leonard Maltin's classic movie guide is so much more than a simple guide, its title states. It's an interesting, some would say welcome antidote to the themes expressed in New Kings of the World. Whichever one you want to pick up and read, even maybe both, I think you'll find something interesting, intriguing, and some interesting movies that you got to go see. New Kings of the World, Dispatches from Hollywood, Dizzy, and K-Pop by Fatima Bhutto, and Leonard Maltin's classic movie guide from the silent era through 1965, the third edition by none other than Leonard Maltin. They're all available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.